All right, we continue today into Masechet Erevin. Today's daf is Daf Yud Beit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beit. And that's a very important milestone, obviously. We finished the entire first Mishnah with all of the issues that were nogeya in that Mishnah. And it turns out that the main things that we've spoken about was the concept of a Korah. Lechi was sort of left to the side a great deal. And that's because one of the things that we were patterning that entire first Mishnah about, and of course a Gemara is defined entirely by the Mishnah that's coming to be Mefarish, was the Sukkah connection to the both in Sukkah and Movli in terms of the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, there was this element of Laman Yedu Dorotechem, Kibisukot, Oshavtis B'nai Yisrael, which had to do with the understanding, that is to say, the awareness, the consciousness of it, which requires you to be within range. So that set up the whole idea of the being 20, maximum of 20 amos high, and that led us to a discussion of what type of mavois we were talking about. We were focusing primarily on the issue of a petach and the length of a mavoi and what exactly the types of mavoi are, and we identified three types of mavoi. We had a mavoi that was a mavoi satum, was the standard mavoi, where we only had to deal with one opening next to Rosh Hasharabim, and then we had the mavoi that was mefulash, which led us to the machlokas of Hananiah and Rabbanan, and became a machlokas of Rav Shmuel Aloch Lamaisa about how do we mitaken a mavoi that's open on both ends. And then we talked about a mavoi that was akum, and that was a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether we view that as open at both ends, as if it's all one thing, or because it makes a left turn in the middle, it takes a 90-degree bend, whether because of that it's considered to be two separate mavaot. And from there we got to the so-called super akum mavoi, which was the centipede mavoi, and in which there we had the issue of whether you needed to have the legs offset, or because otherwise it would be a mavoi mafulash through the sides. That was machlokas Rashi and Tosis as well. But those were the types of mivoot that we dealt with. And then we got into all kinds of issues. Since the Mishnah was focusing on the Korah, we got into all types of issues about the Korah per se. So what would be the din of under the Korah? And what would be the din if the Korah was on an angle? And what would, not an angle up and down, mind you, an angle from a longer wall to a shorter wall. Later on, we're going to be talking about angles up and down. And then we talked about the Korah that was hanging in the middle and it was supported by a pole, or a Korah that was jutting out towards the front. And after that, we got into the other issue of whether we can view something. Once we started talking about jutting out, can we view something that's visible from the outside and not from the inside? Can we view that as being a tikkun? Now that, as always, when we get towards the end of one Mishnah and towards the beginning of the next Mishnah, the Gemara begins angling towards the next Mishnah. And once we already raised the question about a Korah sticking into the Rishus Arabim, that led us inevitably to start thinking about the nature of a Lechi that was sticking out into Rishus Arabim. Because over there, the idea of sticking out is not something artificial. It's something that happens all the time. If a wall is longer than the other wall, which is a very simple case of where it's Nikar Mibachutz, and this brought us to analyzing the issue of the two chatzerot, one inside of the other. What's the interrelationship between the sides on the bigger chatzer and the non-visible sides from the inside to the smaller chatzer? And that led to the something that is nikar only mibachutz, but it's shava mibifnim. And because of that, again, we were inevitably dragged into that Mishnah, which involved us in whether we need something on both sides. Because there we have a chatzer that's open to another chatzer. So we already started talking about, okay, what do you need on both sides of the chatzer, the larger chatzer? Wow. Do you need something from both sides? I mean, we're taking into consideration over there that maybe we only had one side. We got into the whole problem of if it's 11 amos versus 10 amos, what do we do with those six additional tvachim? And that led us already into, oh man, deep into the issues of the next Mishnah. Because basically what we needed to talk about over there is whether you need two pasim, one on either side. As opposed to the word lechi, pas, which is basically the same idea, often is required on both sides. It's often a piece of wall as opposed to something that was mitukan particularly for that purpose, like the lechi is. And it's called a pas as well, because it receives many circumstances in which the pas has to be significant, as opposed to a lechi, where we talked about a lechi could be something that would be very, very thin. In the context of leading up to this lechi, we already started talking about, okay, what about Tzuras HaPesach? And that was the last thing we dealt with, was the whole concept of being what we call an Erev, which is really a Tzuras HaPesach. What exactly is the Tzuras HaPesach? How closely does it have to fit together, the top part to the side part, and to the disastrous story of the Reish Galuta, which we hope he never found out about that Breiter, because, boy, oh boy, somebody would have been in major trouble. But anyway, that was the last thing we learned yesterday, which introduced us to the Mishnah. So now we're holding at this Mishnah. And as I said yesterday, I want to maybe do a little bit of an introduction, a presentation of the issues that we're able to go through the Shakel of Ataria much more rapidly and supply both the basically two groups of how it is that you want to learn the daf, and we ended up recognizing that there's no choice but to speed things up because we're never going to get to the Yerushalmi and never going to finish our Mishnah. And therefore, I assume that I had your agreement in my insistence that maybe it's time to start doing a little bit of work and getting some chavruses together. Bruce is giving a big thumbs up because he wants to take on as many chavruses as possible. He wanted to dedicate basically his day, I think, to one chavrusa after another. Okay. And so with that, let's try this new approach again. So the next mission is actually going to be dealing with, even though it doesn't appear to on the surface, it turns out that it forces us into a contemplation of the interrelationship between the heter of the Korah and the heter of the Lechi, which we haven't really talked about because the Lechi sort of got pushed to the side. It's going to turn out that there's some fascinating interrelationships between these two, according to different shitas. And that leads directly and inexorably into the question of the relationship of two Lechis, that is to say, two Pasim on the sides of a Chatzer. And that, of course, we already had tasted before the Shita of Rebbe that required two Pasim. And then the question of whether Rebbe holds like the Shita of Rebbe Yossi, that each one of those Pasim have to be a minimum of three Tvachim as opposed to a normal Lechi that requires only one Tvach. So let's just take a look at the general issue over here, because there's a fundamental problem. And that fundamental problem we've been ignoring. Let me tell you what the fundamental problem is. We've been talking about a chatzer as if it's a thing, and a mavoi as if it's a thing. Now, it is a thing. I mean, we defined it. Well, the chatzer is a place where you've got houses that open up into a commons, and a mavoi is a place where you've got at least two of those chatzeros that have a commons opening up into an alleyway that goes out into Rishu Sarabim. That's all very nice, but remember that there's also geometrical proportions that are important in the determination of what is going to be considered to be a Rishus HaYochid, what is considered to be a Rishus HaRabi. And again, fundamentally, and this is very important, fundamentally, the idea in terms of the dinim of Shabbos have nothing to do with people living in places. The whole concept of diurin is a Rabbanan invention when it comes to Shabbos. Unless you hold like the shitas that talk about a Rishus HaRabim requires a minimum usage of 600,000 people, but that's not quite the idea of diurin. It's the only place where we find the use of actual humans are important in defining what the Rishus would be. But generally speaking, a Rishus is a geometric description. Now, the idea of having two separate takonos, there's something that's called a mavi, and there's something that's called a chatzer. In terms of the mechitzas of each one of them, it's the same thing, right? I mean, basically, a chotzer's got these three walls, and a mavoi's got these three walls. And if we would ignore all the other issues about the diurin, in terms of the actual three walls of each one of them, they basically, you got to make a determination. Is three walls for Rishus HaYochid, or do you need four walls for Rishus HaYochid? Okay. Once we make that determination, there does not seem to be any fundamental difference between a chatzer. I don't think it's because a chatzer needs a doorway Because remember that in the case of one chatzar opening up into the other chatzar, the determination of whether it's considered to be one chatzar with the other one in terms of Erev is whether I view it as a door. But other than that, if it wouldn't be an Erev problem, we'd have a problem in being metalto in that chatzar, despite the fact that it had three walls, right? So why is there really this big difference of putting up when it comes to a chatzar, we're going to insist on all types of chumras? We already spoke about those chumras before. We may need a minimum single pas. Now there's a sheet that says you can get away with one side of a pas if that pas is it needs to be a full four tefachim. You're going to need two lechis, two pasim, that is to say, on either side of the door to the chatzar, if it's less than that. Or, according to Rebbe, you always need two, and they always need to be a minimal three tvachim wide. Those are the basic shitas. Two lechis on either side, which we call pasim, of the door to the chatzar. One, if it's four. And according to Rebbe, always two. And if Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yossi, then it needs to be two, which are three tvachim. Those are the shitas. But, I mean, fundamentally, why is there this difference in terms of a chatzar? Suppose I don't have people living in the chatzar that satisfy these requirements for the mavui. I have a chatzar. Why is there this basic difference between a chatzar and a mavui? What defines that difference? We already saw that something geometrical defines the mavui, namely, a mavi has to be longer, that is to say, deeper, than it is wide. I mean, like, what does that matter? Suppose if the mavi is deeper than it's wide, and it doesn't have this chatzeros opening into it, and nobody wants to make a shita for the mavos. Remember that we pointed out in the original opening Mishnah that what we are discussing, please, Rogov, thank you. Remember that we were discussing in the original Mishnah. Do not get confused between what allows you to carry in an area, if there's no other people, and what is considered to be necessary to make a shittuf in the area. Those are two different dinim. And the first Mishnah was not talking about making an erev, that is to say, a shittuf, in the mavui. It was just wanted to know what allows you to carry within your mavui, not where you've got this problem with other people, in terms of, is it rishus hayachid, is it rishus harabim? So I don't understand what actually differentiates between carrying in a chatzar, just because it has a different shape, and carrying in a mavui. I mean, like, why is the shape so important? So there's a fundamental idea over here. And that fundamental idea is that the Rabbanan made these two takanas based on the common associative aspects of a geometrical space. That is to say, and Tosfos explains this with a question we're going to have later today. So that is to say that if something essentially looks like a private area, and it's the kind of private area where you normally feel that you've got a commons with other people, they gave it a din that you can carry in it as long as its privacy is protected. And because of that sense of the privacy, which is the definition of a chatzar to them, they require that a chatzar indeed be very private. So if the chatzar is all busted open on one side, they said, look, if you want to treat that as a private area, then it's got to have maybe two pasim on either side or a big piece of four. Masha Einkein, the issue of a mavui is that we need something to distinguish it, usually. It doesn't feel very private. The reason it doesn't feel very private is because it gives you a feeling of a driveway. It gives you a feeling of an alleyway. Just because it's long like that, longer than it's wide, which is not typical for a commons. So over there, the issue that concerns us is not to define the mavui for you as a private space in which it makes sense for you to be mu'uravin with other people. Instead, what makes sense for us is for us to focus on the way that it's very similar to Rishus HaRabim and to make some difference for you between the Rishus HaRabim aspect of it and its Rishus HaYochid, as opposed to ensuring your sensations of privacy, because that's not what we want. So the sensations of privacy have to do with Erevin in a Chatzar. And the distinction between the Rishus HaRabim and the Rishus HaYochid in a Mavoi is more concerned with the Heker, to prevent you from getting confused between a Rishus HaRabim and a Mavoi, which is similar to Rishus HaRabim, in terms of its shape. So because of that, for the first time, we're going to be introducing the purely geometric concerns. And that's a very important part of our sugya today. And in addition to that, those geometric concerns are going to lead us, of course, to understanding those differences between a chatzer. Again, let me just review the basic idea. In a chatzer, we need either two pasim or one large pas. The two pasim could be even a mashu, according to Moshitas. And the single pas would have to be at least four tefachim wide. And there's an alternative, which is Rebbe. Rebbe holds you always need two pasim on either side of your chatzer. And those pasim have to be, possibly, like Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yossi says each pas needs to be at least three tefachim. Those are the possibilities. And then we've got our old machlokas about a mavoi mefulash. And then we assume that we know all about a mavoi satum. Now, it turns out we don't really know all about a mavoi satum, because we were making things very simple by not telling you all of the different shitas. Our Mishnah introduces some additional shitas in what turns out to be a Mavoi Satum. This was so confusing, by the way, because of the way that the Gemara had set up that first Mishnah, the way the Shas had set up that first Mishnah. It's so confusing that the Gemara thought that this Mishnah was talking about a Mavoi that was Mefulash. That's how confusing it is. It turns out that it isn't. But here's the go. We know, I'm telling you in advance, we are talking about a Mavoi Satum here, not a Mavoi Mefulash, even though it seems to be, whoa, we didn't talk about any of this in the first Mishnah, and all of a sudden we got all of these new ideas. True. So, says the Eilat Mishnah, Hechshe Mavoi Beit Shammai Amrim Lechi VeKorah. So Beit Shammai says you need a Lechi and a Korah, not one or the other. And Beit Hillel says you need either a Lechi or a Korah. Whew, okay, that's like our first Mishnah. And Rebbe Eliezer says, the heck, you need two Lechis. Now, it's not quite clear. Does he mean two Lechis plus a Korah, or does he mean either a Korah or two Lechis? Is he going in Beit Shammai? That he's saying, well, when Beit Shammai said you need a Lechi and a Korah, he meant you need two Lechis plus a Korah. It's very, very opaque. And then we've got a quote from a certain Talmud who claimed that Rabbi Shmuel said that, look, he says this in front of Rabbi Akiva, lo nechleku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel mavishu pachot mi-arba amot. You know, we never talked about differences in how wide a mavoi would be in its opening area. But he says that Rabbi Shmuel taught him that if we're talking about less than 4 amot wide, that's for sure either a lechi or a korah would be fine. This new machlokas that we're talking about over here is talking about where it's rochav mi-arba amot, it goes between 4 amot and 10 amot, and it's there that Beit Shammai says you need both, and it's there that Beit Hillel says you need either. Says Rabbi Akiva, not so. There's no difference. I don't care whether it's 4 amot, 10 amot. Obviously, it can't be more than 10 amot because we weren't able to be machshir something that is just parutz. It needed to be the 10 amot. We talked yesterday about what about if you have it Tzuras HaPesach? Can it be more than 10 amot? We had the two gersos in the Mishnah and Rav's approach that even a Tzuras HaPesach won't help. Fine. But in any event here, we're talking about, according to Rabbi Akiva, the same exact mavoi we were talking about in the first Mishnah. We never heard about any differences in measurements, and we never heard these other shitas about Beit Shammai and Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, now we hear about them. So we've got all of this new information, but it turns out it's about the same thing we were talking about. And because of that, it serves as an introduction to a whole new area, which is, okay, what about where we're talking about a chotzer, not a mavi? Says the Gemara, wait a minute over here, assuming that we're talking about a mavi mefulash. This is crazy, because before we had a machlokas about a mavoi mefulash between Chananya and the Tanakhama, according to the Tanakhama, we needed a Tzuras HaPesach. According to Chananya, we need an actual door. And over here, we're changing everything. No, no, says Rabbi Yehuda. We are talking about a mavoi sosum. No. This is the same mavoi we've been talking about all along, and now we're giving you the details that we didn't tell you in the first Mishnah. Because the first Mishnah, again, we had a prejudice. We're trying to make it look like Sukkah. Okay, but now here's the deal. Ketzad. Beit Shammai omrim lechi v'korah, Beit Hillel omrim o lechi o korah. Okay, so explain to me why you would need a lechi and a korah. What would be? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, either we're talking about this kind of hecker or that kind of hecker. I mean, if you're starting to talk to me about needing a side and a top, whoa, baby. I mean, then you seem to be talking about a real type of mechitza. I mean, this is closer to a mechitza than a heker, right? Now, why would Beit Shammai say you need an actual mechitza? Am I meant to conclude that Lamemer Degasavri Beit Shammai Arba Mechitzos Dioraisa? You need to literally have four mechitzos in order for something to be Rishus HaYochid, and otherwise you can't carry in it because you'll be carrying Arba Amos in a Rishus HaRabim. That's what it seems to be saying. No, you can't conclude that. It's probably like this, that Beit Shammai would agree that you'd be chayev if you would throw from Rosh Hashanah into that Rosh Hashanah once you have three mechitzas. But in order to carry in it, then you would need to have this four derabbanan. You need to have something that is actually like four mechitzas. That's the chiddush of Beit Shammai. It's not enough a heker. The rabbanan wants you to have really four mechitzas. Okay, let me think about Beit Hillel. So now Beit Hillel is saying either Alechi or Korah. So clearly Beit Hillel is demanding at least that, right? I mean, in other words, if you wouldn't have this case of a Mavoi Satum, that's what you said. I mean, so apparently, if it would be less than that, it wouldn't help. If you only had two mechitzas, it wouldn't help, right? That's what you're saying. If it's completely closed from all around, and now all that I'm worried about is carrying into Rosh Hashanah, and I need a heker, so this is the heker. But what about if it's open on both sides? That's a disaster. Why? Apparently because if you don't have three mechitzas, then you can't even begin carrying it because it's Rosh Hashanah. Does that mean that Beit Hillel holds three mechitzas of the Oraisa? Not necessarily. You see, Beit Hillel might hold that two mechitzas is the Oraisa, and the Rabbanan were mechayev you to have an actual three mechitzas in order to be metaltel. Then you've got the problem, a real three mechitzas. Then you've got the problem of what is considered to be a heker for you not to come to carry into Rosh Hashanah. Fine, so for that we have our heker. But you cannot conclude that you really need more than two mechitzas. Now, when Rabbi Eliezer says his shita, that you need two separate lechis, did that mean two lechis plus a korat, or did he mean two lechis even without a korat? Well, let me tell you a story, and from the story you'll see the solution. There was once a story where Rabbi Eliezer went to his Talmud, Rabbi Yossi ben Preda, to a town called Uvlin. And in this town, he finds him sitting happily in a mavui where it only had one lechi. So he says to him, "My son, make yourself another lechi, you know?" So his Talmud says to him, "I don't understand. Why would I need another lechi? Do I need to chilas sotmo? I need sorry, what? Do I need to close up my whole mavui? I don't want to close up my whole mavui." So Rabbi Eliezer says to him, "What do you care? What do you care? Be a good boy. You said tame umabukach. What's so terrible?" And now this next piece is a non sequitur to us, but it's a continuation of this of the Braita that quoted the story. So let's first read it, and then we'll get back to the story, and then we'll have to get back to the additional quotation. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Lo nechlegu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel amavushu pachot miarba amot sheino tzarich klum." Oh my God, this is a mess. Because, I mean, that's not what we said in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah a moment ago, we said that we had somebody who was saying in front of Rabbi Akiva that there's a difference, you know, between 4 and between 10. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, it's not true, and so on. But, I mean, nobody said this. Nobody said it doesn't need anything. I mean, he says it doesn't need anything. If it's less than 4, it doesn't need the Lechi V'Korah. This Talmud was saying it does need a lechi or korah, and now comes along Rav Shimon Gamaliel. But let's ignore that for a moment. But man, oh man, we're going to have to figure this out. So Rav Shimon Gamaliel says, "Nah, you don't need anything. Ain't it tzarech klum?" The whole machlokas was from 4 to 10. Beit Shammai says lechi v'korah. Beit Hillel says either lechi or korah. Okay, but can I get back to the story? So the story is that his Talmud had said to him, "What do I need to close up my mavoi? I don't want to close up my mavoi." What do you mean close up my mavoi? I mean, putting another lechi in a mavoi isn't closing up your mavoi. I mean, maybe it seems to imply that what his Rebbe was telling him is, you're going to need to have a korah plus two lechayim so that you should have like a real bechitza of a wall on your mavoi. And that's what he was complaining about. He wasn't complaining about the physical process. What's the point of turning a mavoi into a completely private area? That's not what it's meant to be. And that's what he seems to be saying, because otherwise, why was he complaining? See, Ian, if you're going to tell me that he meant with the Korah, then it would explain why Rabbi Yossi, his Talmud, was saying, "What do I need to close up the whole area?" But if you're going to tell me he didn't mean to add a Korah, just two little echis. I mean, why is that literally closing it up? Oh, come on. I mean, that's not much of a proof. I mean, it might be that Rabbi Yosef ben Prado was simply telling Rabbi Eliezer, but halachically, what's your problem exactly? I mean, why do I need to turn it into closing it up with these lechis? And I don't like the idea of having any kind of additional things in the way here. What do I need anything in the way? I don't need it. Some say that it's talking about that he had a very thin mavoya. Okay, whatever. But some of the Rishonim said. Omar Mar, like, can I get back to the other thing you said? Rav Shimon Gamliel said that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that it doesn't need anything if it's less than four amas. What? I mean, the most we had in the Mishnah was that Rav Yishmael was quoted by this Talmud and claimed that at least they would agree that you can get away with either a lechi or a korah. But I mean, certainly didn't say over there that you can get away with nothing. I mean, how come it doesn't say the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel? I mean, if you're already coming to tell me a sheet of Rabbi Yishmael, don't you think it would make sense to quote in the Mishnah the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel? You don't even need anything? That would be at a fifth sheet. Omer Vashi, now, of course, he didn't mean you don't need anything. He meant you don't need any of this extra jazz. That's what he meant. In other words, that basic idea of what it is, that you have either a lechi or a korah, and everybody's coming on here and adding extra jazz, right? No, you need both a lechi and a korah. No, you need two lechi. None of that extra stuff. That's all he meant. He meant nothing. Okay. So you can get away with either a lechi or a korah like Beit Hillel. That's all that he meant to say. Now, the question is like this. There's got to be some point where the door of the lechi, the door of the mavoi is so thin that there's no point in having a lechi or korah. You're saying, okay, four amot, exactly the same, says Rabbi Akiva. Not exactly the same, says Rabbi Yishmael or Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, but what point would it no longer require a tikkun? So the kama, in other words, how thin can it be? Omer of Achlai, Vitei Rabbi Yechiel, until four tvachim. Once it gets all the way down to four tvachim, then it does not require anything. So at that point, you don't need either a lechi or a korah. Now this idea of the four tvachim is not much of a chiddush, Rabbi Yisai. Because less than four tvachim, remember, is a makom patur. Okay? So the Bir Halacha explains. What is the Gemara talking about? I don't need anybody to teach me that if the mavoi is thinner than four tvachim, that there's no problem of carrying in it. Because if you don't have arba al arba, then you're in a makom patur. And in a makom patur, nobody asks carrying inside of a makom patur. So that means that the whole Gemara makes absolutely no sense. Any child could tell you that less than 4x4 is not considered to be a mokum choshev, and therefore it's a mokum tur, you see. So what the Bir Halacha explains is that what we're talking about over here, I don't know whether we have a picture. I don't see a picture. But what we're talking about over here is a mavoi that actually gets thinner. It's a funnel-shaped mavoi. So in the mavoi proper, of course there's 4x4, and that's why it needs a tikkun. Our only question is that as you get close to the funnel part of the mavoi, this is very similar to the Rechov HaChatzotzra in the old city. So on one side, it funnels into this little tiny opening, and that's exactly what we're talking about. It's a mavoi. It's a literal mavoi. It's got these chatzeros open to it on both sides. And on one side, it's wide, so it has 4x4, but when you come to the place where you have to come into Rechov Galed, over there, it's not four. It's exactly the case. And in that case, you would not need a lechi or a korah in order to carry. That's what it means, because otherwise it makes no sense. Okay. Anyway, a new halacha over here. That Omer of Sheish, Omer of Yirmei Barab, Omer Rab. You should know that the Chachomim are mode, and here's where we get into, as you could see, here's the transition. Rabbi Eliezer was the only one who says you need two lechis. Okay. There is one case where everybody has made it that you need two lechis. And where is that? Says Rav Sheshes. This was Rav's Maimer. The Chachomim made him that when you're talking about a chotzer, and a chotzer is broken into another chotzer or into the Rosh Hasharabim, over there, yes, you do need to have pase chotzer. You need to have two, just like Rabbi Eliezer says. Everybody agrees to that. Whereas Reb Nachman says, no, wait a minute, not everybody agrees to that. That's the halacha. But not everybody agrees to that. We paskin like Reb Eliezer when it comes to pasei chatzer is what you should say. But actually, the Rabbanan who don't require two lechis in a mavoi don't require two lechis for a chatzer either. So in other words, I agree with you that halacha l'maisi, yes, there's a major difference. A mavoi requires only one lechi and a chatzer requires two lechis, which are called pasim. So, but the question is, I'm not sure that I don't agree with you when it comes to what the Chachamim say over here. The Chachamim and the Mishnah may argue with Reb Eliezer. Okay. So, Amr Nachman by Yitzchak, when you said over here, you said they agree. You say modim chachamim, right? So when they're modim chachamim, who are these chachamim that are moda? Obviously, you're talking about Rebbe, correct? Rebbe has been the one all along that we have been quoting. We're going to see the machlokas in a moment that holds that a chatzer requires two pasim. Remember, I kept telling you that. And when you say, according to Reb Nachman, that the halacha is like that, but we don't paskin like that. Okay, so then do you know people who argue on Rebbe? I do. Man Polegale, the following Rabbanan argued it. Tanya, take a look at this brisa. Chotzini teres bepas echad, and Rebbe omer b'shnei pasim. And so, in other words, according to Rebbe, there's a Tana Kama, who is obviously a Tana, who says that you only need a pas echad even in a chotzer. And Omer Abazi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin that you need two pasim in the chatzer. And Rabbi Zera was very upset about that because he said, how could you say that? He holds that you need two pasim if you were the one who said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you're going to use a board in a chatzer, you always need four tvachim for that board. Okay, so you'll say, so what's your problem? So maybe it means four tvachim on either side. Ha! It can't mean four tefachim on either side, because back again to the case we had earlier in the Brisa, the inside chatzer and the outside chatzer. What was the difference, the total difference? One amma. One was 10 ammas, one was 11 ammas. So I got news for you. If there's only one amma difference, there's not room for two pasim of four on either side, darling, because 4 + 4 = 8, not 6, okay? And you were the one who said this from Rabbi Yochanan. So what are you talking about? How could Rabbi Yochanan have said that you need four if you only can have a maximum of three? Ah, the point is this. Rabbi Yochanan says you've got a choice. You could either use one pas, which is wide enough to be very nicker, and it's four tefachim wide, or you've got an option to use two pasim, one on each side, and over there you can use a mashahu. Now, so why did it say over there you need a full other amma between? Oh, remember? That was going according to Rebbe. Rebbe said you need two pasim, and we said that Rebbe held like Rebbe Yossi. Each one of those pasim has to be three tvachim. 3 + 3 = 6 tvachim, which equals one amma, which explained perfectly why I needed 11 amot on the outside and only 10 amot in the inside. That was the whole point. So didn't we say Kitana be'eser gedola b'chadesre? How do you understand that? So obviously, when Rebbe Zera, he explained this as I just explained it. When Rabbi Zera came back from Miami, he was Pirsha. He explained it like this. By the way, Miami actually means Miami. Now, I don't know if you know it, but the word Miami is an Indian word meaning the great waters. So Miami is actually Miami. So when he came back from the Yam, and that explains why it is that all the Jews in America go to Miami for Kriyas Yamsuf, because they actually want to go to the Yam, right? Must be. Anyway, so Kisolik Rabbi Zera Miami. So when he came from Miami, he explained it like this. If it's on one side, then you need four. That's what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. If it's on two sides, you can have a little bit on either side. And as far as this business about needing to have one extra amma, that's because that's going like Rebbe, and Rebbe holds you need two, and Rebbe also holds like Rabbi Yossi, that each one needs to be 3 = 6. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yosef quotes Shmuel as saying, actually, you can carry in a chatzer even with just one pas. He didn't explain how big this pas needs to be. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, how can you say that Shmuel said that when Shmuel gave a specific hayrah to Rabbi Hananiah bar Shila, and he said to him, look, whenever you've got a shaila about a chatzer, do not be matur a chatzer halacha lamaisa, unless you've got either most of the wall closed off of that chatzer, or you've got two possum. But don't be matir with one possum. What are you telling me that Shmuel, Rav Yosef, you're misquoting Shmuel? Oh, my lesson, Rav Yosef says to him, look, man, I got this. I don't know all of this complex stuff, okay? What I do know is my good old Shepherd Village. We had this before. Rav Yosef used to go to Shepherd Village. So what I do know is that it happened one time that we had sort of the yam. It was like this inlet that had broken into a chutzner. So there was water that was coming into the chutzner, and basically that part of the chutzner was open. The entire part of that chutzner fell down and was open to the yam, which was, you know, it was great because at least we were able to get water on Shabbos. So, all right, but could you carry in the chutzner? So we went to ask Rabbi Yuna how to carry, and he said, it's no problem, put up one board. I mean, Rabbi Yuna was like the star Talmud of Shmuel. So if Rabbi Yuna had pas, can you just need one pas? That's why I'm telling you, I know halacha l'maisa. I also know that Shmuel said one pas, but here was an actual maisa. Says the Bai, that's not an actual maisa. Water doesn't have the same din as other things. That's because it was a lashon yam. That's different. Remember, the chachamim were very meikel when it came to water. Remember the story we had in Masechet Shabbat, where Rabbi Tavla asked Rav, if you've got a churva, where the top of a wall is extant, but underneath it's not. Is that a good mechitza because it's hanging down? And Rav Tavla said, only if there's water. That's the only time that the chachamim were matir, hanging down. And that's a kalu shikilu chachamim b'mayim. Remember that case? The case was you got a porch. You live in Venice, and you want to draw water up through a hole in your porch from the water that is directly beneath you. So what can you do? Well, you can make a mechitza tluya around the hole. So you make sort of like a box around the hole sticking down towards the water. You may be 20 stories high. It only has to stick down 10 tefachim. And then it's considered to be a mechitza tluya that gets you all the way down into the water. And then you can carry it as if it's Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because mechitza tluya is good for water. Okay, so there are other things. Maybe pas echad is good enough for water. That doesn't prove to me the issue about Shmuel. Shmuel said, don't be matirit unless you've got two. Now, how are you going to explain that? So, we got a contradiction here. So, when Rav Papa and Rav Huna came from Beirav, they explained that the point was, again, it depends. If you've got a pas on one side, then it's okay, but it's got to be four tefachim. If it's from two sides, this was the same idea we said before in Rabbi Yochanan, and then one on either side would be sufficient. Says Rav Papa, okay, but I still have a problem with this whole thing, because it's all very nice to say there's a difference, but then why did Shmuel say to Rav Hananya Bar Shila, don't you dare ever be matir or chutzer unless you've got two pasim or most of the wall? Why didn't he tell him, no, you don't need two pasim, you can use one pas of four tefachim? Well, obviously, this can't be the answer, because then he would have given that as an option and to Rav Hananya Bar Shila, and he didn't give him any kind of other option. This answer doesn't work out very well. So he says, obishnei pasim, or berov dofen. Why would I need rov of a dofen if all I need is a pas of four tefachim? Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, because he was saying you don't really need a pas of arba, because maybe it's talking about over here the minimal dofen, which was only seven tefachim. And over there, if he said, if you've got the rov, then if he would have said ba'ar ba'ah, that would be more than rov of the dofen. And then in such a case, why would I need four tefachim? Why would Shmuel even say I need to close most of it? I don't need to close most of it. Because if I only have a total of seven tefachim, the moment I take off three tefachim plus a little bit, I don't need four tefachim, I don't need rov. Because then already I have less than four tefachim. You said before that if a movli has less than four tefachim, it doesn't need any tikkun at all. So wouldn't that be true over here also? To Omer of Achli, Vitemer of Yerchiel, until Arba Tvachim. Well, now, yes, but where did he say that? I mean, he said that about a Mavui. We are talking about a Chatzar. Now, remember that there were a lot of different dinim between a Chatzar and a Mavui. Now, it could very well be that when it comes to a Chatzar, maybe you still need something, even though it's not more than four Tvachim. Okay, I already can't tell you that. Or, I don't know, I mean, maybe not everybody agrees with Rav Achlo or Rav Achloi, whatever. Maybe that was a machlokas tanoim, even when it came to a mavoi. I don't know what Shmuel holds about that, but it doesn't mean necessarily you have to hold like that. Anyway, getting back to this idea, what about another case? Here's a case where the sea breaks into a chotzer. Now, it didn't tear down the entire chotzer. It wasn't totally open. There's pieces of wall that are left on either side of the place where the sea broke in. Okay. So the halacha over there is you cannot carry water from out of the sea into the chotzer, even the part that is included within the pasim on the side. You would have to have built a mechitza that is 10 tefachim high in the part that the water has interfered with, because that's considered to be a area which is a carmelite. You can't carry from the carmelite into your chotzer. But when is this true? Only if the area where the sea has penetrated is 10 amos wide plus. But if it's less than that, if it's 10 or less, then you don't need anything and you'd even be allowed to carry the water. Now, first of all, I mean, when it's more than 10 amos, it says over here, the only problem you've got is filling up water from the yam, but you'd still be allowed to carry. Why are you allowed to carry? I thought the deal is that when a chotzer is completely broken into an area which is usher to it, such as a bika, a carmelite, which is the case over here, so nifritzu chotzer lo lamokam usher lo, then the entire place becomes usher. So how come you're saying it's mutter? The point over here is, yes, it looks like it's nifritzu to mokam, but the wall still exists under the water surface. So in other words, what happened over here is the water kept pounding against the wall of the chotzer, and the wall that was higher than the water level collapsed. On either side, there were still full walls, but then there was more than an area of 10 amos where it looked like it was completely broken open. But when you went under the water, you dived under the water, you saw that the original wall is still there. So when it comes to the question of whether the chotzer has a wall, yes, the chotzer has a wall. The fact that the wall is underwater does not take away the wall. Remember, we've always been talking about seawalls, and they're perfectly good walls, so this is a good wall. The only problem over here is, are you able to carry water which is part of the carmelite? Now, that is a whole new idea. We're going to see that's called arive maya. Arive maya is another technical term which means when waters are mixed. Waters are mixed, then that means that all the water is considered to be the carmelite. In order to be mater, taking the water from the carmelite vis-a-vis the water, fine. So then you need to make a mechitza that makes the carmelite not a carmelite. But over here, when it comes to the question, is this chotzer surrounded by a wall? Yes, it is. Now we've got the craziest thing, which Rav Yehuda says something that seems absolutely nutty. And that is that if you have a mavoi, where you did not make a sheet of bavos with a piece of bread, and you went ahead and you put up a lechi, nichshira b'lechi, if somebody throws a ball into it from Rishus HaRabim, he will be chayev. But
the Rebbe explained gidudei. We didn't hear what gidudei are.
Yes, you did hear what gidudei are. You fully heard what gidudei are. The remnants of the wall that are underneath the surface of the water. That's exactly what we've just been explaining. If you must have a picture, there might be one. Yes, there is a picture number 98. That's your picture. All right, so that's the remaining wall. Anyway, continuing on, please. So Rav Yehuda says, if you were matir this mavoi with a lechi, so then you're chayev if you throw from Rosh Hashanah. But if you were matir it with a korah, then if you throw into it, you're potter. Says Rav Sheshes, what the heck is he talking about? What difference does it make whether you made a shita for the mavoi or you didn't make a shita for the mavoi? I don't understand. You're telling me the reason that it's not considered to be Rishus HaYochid if it was only connected with a korah is because you didn't make a shita? And if you put a piece of bread in one of the chotzers, now all of a sudden it turns into Rishus HaYochid? What, a piece of bread makes the difference? Kikar zuo sel to Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. Since when does a piece of bread turn something into a different Rishus Midiraisa? It's nutty. Tanya chatzerot shel Rabim. Mevoat she'enem mefulas shem. I don't care how many people are there. If they're not open on both ends and they're closed, I don't care. Bein irvu, bein lo irvu. You want to know what halacha is diraisa, with or without a piece of bread. Hazorik letochon chayav. You forget about the erevin for the diraisa. So what could Rav Yehuda have meant? Obviously, this is not being told us correctly. What Rav Yehuda must have said would be like this. Amar Rav Yehuda, a mavoi that cannot be made into a sheet of mavoz, even if you want to. What would that mean? It would mean that it's a mavoi mafulash. So it's only got two walls, right? So then, if you put up a lechi on one end, that lechi was enough to turn it into a deoraisa rishus hayachid, and therefore you would be chayev. But if you put up a korah, then you would remain potter. Why? Because alma kasava lechi mishum mechitza. Apparently, Reb Yehuda holds the way that a lechi works is it gives it a din of a mechitza and turns it into a three-walled area, which is a rishus hayachid deoraisa. But if you put up a korah works only as a heker and does not work as a mechitza. That apparently is the whole point. Rabba also held that. Lechi is mishum mechitza. Korah is mishum heker. And Rava, we remember from before, Rava said nothing is mishum mechitza. Everything only works mishum heker, and therefore, if it's only two mechitzas, you will not be chayev for throwing from Rosh Hasharabim into there. Really? Says Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba to Rava. You won't be chayev? And what about the brisa that says that if somebody throws from Rosh Hasharabim into a mavui, that if it has a lechi, then you're chayev, and if it doesn't have a lechi, then you're putter? So you see that the lechi actually serves as a rishus hayachid and makes the mavi rishus hayachid, which is against you. You say it only serves as a heter. No, says Rava. That means the same thing that we explained in Reb Yehuda. It doesn't mean if it has. It means if this is the kind of mavi that only requires a lechi, meaning that it's a mavi that is sasum. So then if you throw into it, you're chayev because it has three walls and three walls is rishus hayachid. If this is a rishus above it that requires also a tzuras ha-pesach, so it needs a lechi on one end and a tzuras ha-pesach, or maybe a door like Chananya, then even if you were zerik l'tocha, you would be potter, because since it only has two sides, it's considered to be a rishus ha-rabim. So why would you be chayev from throwing from rishus ha-rabim into this lechi? Gavi, you're falling asleep. Gavi, I could see the darkness in your eyes. So, okay. Wake up. All right. So now the problem is that really true? Is it really true that if you have two mechitzas, that those two mechitzas cannot be a rishus hayochid? And what about the famous thing about Rabbi Yehuda? Remember Rabbi Yehuda with the two houses on two sides of a rishus harabim? And he says, if you just put up a lechi, then you can carry from one house to the other, right? No sevenot in the emtza. And the chachamim say, no, you can't make an eruv in a rishus harabim. Yeah, well, obviously, we know that already. We know that Rav Yehuda holds that shtei mechitzas are d'oraisa, right? Okay, well, we're not talking about, says Rav, we're not talking about Rav Yehuda over here. I'm talking about according to the normative approach, the Rabbanan, who say, no, two mechitzas are real rishus harabim, man, you can't make anything kind of tikkun to that. Okay, so I'm saying according to those chachamim, then that the halach is exactly like I'm saying. Not a lemov, not a korah, and not a lechi is going to turn something into a real mechitza. That's all I'm pointing out. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Now, I want you to understand the geometric measurements, which are very important over here. A mavoi, whose depth, in other words, saying the length of the mavoi is the same as its width, meaning that it's a square, is not going to be able for you to carry in just because it has a lechi or korah. Because that is basically a chatzar. And if it's a chatzar, again, it doesn't matter what the real situation is of the diurin. If you want to turn an area like that into rishus hayochid, then it's got to have the possible. Omer Pchia Barashi Omer Rav. Something else I want to tell you. I want to tell you the same thing. I mean, Rav over there was quoted by Rav Yehuda saying that the lechi is not going to be enough. I want to tell you that Rav said that the korah is not going to be enough. I'm saying the same thing. If it's shaped like a square, then the korah is not enough either. You're going to have an actual pasim. Says Rabbi Zera, that's really brilliant. You know, I always thought that the whole deal over here was that everything fits into like how it's being used. But actually, Kama mechuvanim shmeitzer the sabi, what they said makes so much sense, because really the geometric configuration is so powerful psychologically. So kiven de orko kerochpo, for all intents and purposes, it's a chatzer. Now once it's a chatzer, you can't use a lechi or a korah. I mean, that was a gimmick. You need to have your pas arba, or according to Rebbe, obviously on both, whatever the dinim is, just making it easy. Says Rebbe Zera, I said it makes a lot of sense to me, but I do have a problem. Because, I mean, if what bothers me, if we're going to treat it like a chatzer, so why can't that lechi be the equivalent of a pas? Now, obviously, he made a mistake. And he never heard the shita that we started the whole sugya with, which is that when you're talking about a pas, if it's only on one side, it needs to be four whole tefachim. Remember, that was what Reb Yochanan had said. So he didn't know that. That's why he thought this was a problem, but it was a silly problem because Ishtamit Te'adam Ravasi Yom Rav Yochanan, he simply forgot that a pas of a chotzer, when it says passe, it doesn't mean one on each side. It means pasim used for a chotzer, a singular pas used for a chotzer, has to be four tefachim. And so, of course, I mean, a lechi is not going to be enough to be matir if you need four. Om Rav Nachman, remember, I said this before, my Kabbalah that I have. What is the definition of a mavui that you're allowed to make a mavui that is niter b'lechi v'korah? It has to be longer than it's wide, and it needs botim v'chatzerot p'tuchim l'tocho, and that's the type of thing that you can. You have to have two houses. Here, there's a big problem. Rashi says two chatzeros with one house in each chatzer, which is against what Rashi says before and is against the other Rishonim. But anyway, so that's the idea, that if it's going to be something that's going to be matir and you're going to be able to make a shitof in, then this is what it requires. So to be matir, the carrying, it has to be orcho yoter al rochvo, and it needs to be a mavoi to be a shitof that you've got brought in v'chatzeros. What defines a chatzer? Where you cannot have a lechi v'kora. You need a pas of arba or two on either side. Anything that's square. What do you mean anything that's square? What are we, against circles or something? What kind of business is this? What do you mean it's square? No, I don't mean square. I mean the point is it isn't longer from one side to the other. That's the point. Because then it would be like a mavoi. If it's a mavoi, then a lechi v'kora would be a knot. But if not, then it's a chatzer, and a chatzer has to be different. Well, how much different? So Shmuel thought that it had to be double. It would only be a mavoi. Now, Rashi explains, this is only in this case where something actually is a chatzer. So Shmuel thought that in order to change something that really is a chatzer and to give it the geometrical dinim of a mavoi, it would have to be double the length than it is in its width. And Rav said, no, it doesn't matter. Even if it's really a chatzer, to change it into a mavoi, Hachi Omer Chavivi, what my uncle said, that was Reb Chiya, Afilu Mashu, a slightly bit is enough. Okay, so we've introduced a lot of very important halachas today with this Mishnah, changed our understanding of the possibilities of the heter of a mavoi, noted the new dinim of a heter on a chatzer, introduced this new term of pas as opposed to lechi, understood that it matters whether it's from one side, whether it's from both sides, talked about what is the minimal shear, the differences in the mouth opening of a mavoi, even when the mavoi extends into a broader space behind the mouth, talked about the difference between 4 and 10, and if there are, and got into an understanding of where there's a machlokas between Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, Reb Eliezer, and Oto Talmid, who tried to explain, according to Rabban Yishmael, or we had Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the differences in that width.